I was sitting in Scully's, nursing a beer that I couldn't taste, and which I'd have to throw up later, when the Like walked in. He stood well over 7 feet tall. Since Scully's is located close to the Wildwood, a lot of his customers are Likes, and he designed the 9-foot-high doorway to accommodate them. The Like, Onani by name, Stone Cold Killer by rep, was one of the newer shapeshifter breeds, a mixed blood. Like biology tweaked by the hand of genetic engineering. But as far as I was concerned, he was an ugly mess. I could pick out badger, puma, crow, and what I thought was a bit of snake around the eyes. He looked almost as ugly as one of Lady Barbera's demon kin. Almost. Scully's doesn't offer much in the way of decor, but that has more to do with the owner's practicality than any lack of aesthetic sense on his part. The 9-foot-high door is solid iron, and there are no windows, so customers aren't tempted to throw anything, or anyone, through them. The walls are unpainted brick, and the floor smooth concrete, so Scully can hose the place down every night and remove the bloodstains. The tables are solid oak and bolted to the floor to make it more difficult to use them as weapons, and the chairs are easily replaceable cheap wood because they have an extremely short life expectancy. There's no mirror behind the long oak bar, not only because it would be just another damn thing to break, Scully once told me, but because it would annoy the vampires. Scully's is always open, and the man himself is always behind the bar, or at least he is whenever I go there. There are no other servers in Scully's. Scully stood on the other side of the bar close to me, sizing up the mixed blood.
He looks bigger than I expected. Meaner, too.
I'm not sure what Scully is exactly. He looks like a stocky, broad-shouldered human, at least from the bottoms of his feet up to the top of his fleshy neck. But resting on that neck is a skull. Just a skull. No hair, no skin, no organs. Hence his name, obviously. Scully always wears a white shirt with the cuffs rolled up, a black apron, black pants, and black shoes. To the right of the bar is a second iron door which leads upstairs. I assumed Scully had quarters up there, but he never said anything about them, even when I pried a bit.
You're supposed to be my friend. Try to be a little more encouraging.
That was encouraging. What I really wanted to say is he looks like he could tear your head off with just a little finger.
Thanks.
Scully's other patrons looked up to assess the nightmarish hodgepodge's threat potential. A pair of black-clad vampires, one male, one female, sitting at a nearby table, were playing a game of blood shards. The game pieces appearing in the air between them, projected from the holographic implants where their eyes had once been. Though neither looked in Honani's direction, I could tell by the way the crimson shards momentarily faded that their attention was on the Like instead of their game. The table next to the hollow vampires was occupied by two men and a woman who were working on finishing off a pitcher of beer. Their clothes were simple, flannel shirts, jeans, boots, and at first glance they seemed human enough, but each of their eyebrows met in the middle, a sure sign that they were shapeshifters. As Onani started heading toward the bar, the trio wrinkled their noses in disgust. From their reactions, I knew the three were unenhanced Likes, who had just made their low opinion of their genetically altered cousin clear. As he passed, the other Likes continued to glare at his back. But from the way the tension in their bodies eased, I could tell they were relieved he kept going.
He cowed those three Likes without doing a thing. Impressive.
Not helping, Scully.
Onani continued toward the bar, passing a table where a lean, heavily pierced man with a shaven head and a black t-shirt with an anarchy symbol on the front was sitting. A soft shimmer of argent energy passed over the man's piercings as Onani went by, and I knew the punk was one of the arcane, a magic user, and that he just activated a battery of defensive spells. There was something naggingly familiar about the warlock, but I didn't know what. Sitting at the table next to the warlock was a fluid, shadowy mass that sometimes resembled the silhouette of a person, sometimes a formless blob. I had no idea what the thing was, but as Onani walked by, the shadowy thing flowed down to the floor, became a black puddle, and then quickly oozed toward the exit and slipped beneath the closed iron door. The last customer in the bar was a reed-thin blonde, dressed in tight black leather, sipping a glass of aqua sanguis alone at a corner table.
She was extremely attractive, and if I'd still been alive, but I wasn't. So I turned my attention back to Hanani. The big light reached the bar.
Whiskey.
Scully set a bottle on the counter in front of the light. Scully reached for a glass.
Forget the glass.
Hanani drank the entire contents down. He tossed the empty over his shoulder. Scully normally doesn't put up with much crap. He keeps a silver broadaxe behind the counter, but he hardly ever has to use it. Rumor is that he has ties to the Dominari, Necropolis' version of the Mafia. And while he's never admitted it to me, he hasn't denied it either. If the dissension celebration hadn't been in full swing, and Hanani already likely drunk before he even came in here, he would have had more sense than to act like such a jackass. But Scully didn't reach for his axe. Instead, he looked over at me. I nodded. Showtime. If I still had a pulse, it would have been racing. My friend, you are the butt-ugliest son of a bitch in the city.
I ain't your friend.
That's true. If you were my friend, I'd suggest you have a street surgeon remove your ass and graft it onto your face. It'd be a vast improvement. I was able to sidestep just as Hanani's razor-sharp claws sliced through my Marvin the Martian tie, decapitating the cartoon spaceman. I watched Marvin's headless body flutter to the floor. Damn it! Do you know how hard it is to come by ties like that around here? Hanani lunged forward, mouth wide open, and fastened his twisted yellow teeth on my shoulder. I didn't feel a thing, except regret that along with my tie, I'd also lost a perfectly good suit jacket and shirt. But before he could take a hunk out of me, he pulled back, his face scrunched up in disgust. He spat great gobs of foam and saliva to the floor.
Oh, you're a debtor.
Guilty as charged. You'd have known that if you'd bothered to smell me. The idiot should have been able to tell just by looking. It had been a while since my last application of preservative spells. I wasn't too fresh. Skin gray, dry, and beginning to flake. I probably didn't taste too good either.
Go back to the boneyard, zombie. Your kind isn't wanted around here.
Then he turned and walked toward the bar. Hanani's reaction was understandable. Most zombies are little more than undead automatons under the control of whoever raised them, and hardly a threat to a like as strong as Hanani. But I'm not most zombies. I removed a glass vial full of gray dust from the inner pocket of my suit jacket and pried off the cork. I made a leap for Hanani. I threw my left arm around Hanani's chest and with my right, jammed the vial into the like's massive mouth and emptied the contents. There wasn't much in the vial, but a little was all that I needed. I felt a distant tearing sensation. I stepped back from the like, still clutching the mostly empty vial. Something was, and then I realized what had happened. My left arm was gone. The preservative spells were breaking down fast. Hanani whirled around and brandished my detached limb like a club. Behind him, I saw Scully lifting his silver axe, ready to strike, but I shook my head and he lowered his weapon.
You damn corpse!
Hanani advanced on me. But he only managed a few steps before he doubled over in pain. He dropped my arm.
You shouldn't have killed her, Hanani. Lyra was a simple working girl. It wasn't her fault you couldn't get it up.
He fell to his knees, and his entire body shook, as if a great struggle were occurring within him.
That dust I dumped into your mouth was part of Lyra's ashes. Not much, but enough. You took her life. Now you're going to give it back.
He rolled onto his side, quivering uncontrollably. His eyes were now rolled up in their sockets. This was it. With my remaining hand, I reached into one of my jacket's outer pockets and removed a small clay jar. I shook off the lid, which was attached by a short length of twine,
then knelt down next to Hanani's head and held the open jar in front of his mouth. Finally, his body grew still. And then, as I watched, thin, whitish wisps curled forth from between his teeth, and then the jar's magic began to draw them in, and they flowed out of his mouth faster and faster until at last they were done. I sat the jar on the floor, put the lid back on tight, and then slipped Honani's soul into my pocket. Honani, or rather his body, began to stir. I put my right hand beneath one of the Like's sweaty armpits and lifted. A few moments later, the body was on its feet again. Lyra swayed dizzily, and for a moment she steadied herself and gave me a toothy smile.
It worked.
Of course. Didn't Papa Chatha say it would?
Lyra ran her hands across her new body. Luckily, Hanani's claws had retracted during the struggle for possession of his form, or else she would have sliced herself to ribbons.
Oh, feels so strange. I'm male now, aren't I?
Yes, but it's better than being dead, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
That's okay. I know what you meant.
Your arm!
Don't worry about it. Occupational hazard. Papa will fix it up for me.
Lyra regarded me for a moment. I could see the confusion in her eyes.
Something wrong?
I don't know what to do now.
You're alive. Do whatever you want.
You're right.
Lyra came forward and gave me a hug.
Thank you, Matthew.
Lyra released me, and then with a wave, she left the bar for whatever her new life held in store for her. I couldn't help but envy her. Everyone watched her go.
All right, show's over.